is from Luke chapter 1. And really, I think at the heart of our message this morning and at the heart of being a Christian, at the heart of being a good human is knowing how to receive a gift well, being a good gift receiver. I think that's at the heart of what it means to be a human being. And we're going to hear a story about some exemplary believers who knew how to do that. So Luke chapter 1, beginning in verse 39, and I'm going to read some and then get some help from some others. Here we go. In those days, Mary set out and went with haste to a Judean town in the hill country, where she entered the house of Zechariah and greeted Elizabeth. When Elizabeth heard Mary's greeting, the child leaped in her womb, and Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Spirit and exclaimed with a loud cry,
"Blessed are you among women, and blessed is the fruit of your womb. And why has this happened to me, that the mother of my Lord comes to me? For as soon as I heard the sound of your greeting, the child in my womb leaped for joy. And blessed is she who believed that there would be a fulfillment of what was spoken to her by the Lord."
And Mary said,
"My soul magnifies the Lord, and my spirit rejoices in God my Savior, for he has looked with favor on the lowliness of his servant. Surely from now on generations will call me blessed, for the Mighty One has done great things for me, and holy is his name. His mercy for those who fear him from generation to generation. He has shown strength with his arm. He has scattered the proud in the thoughts of their hearts. He has brought down the powerful from their thrones and lifted up the lowly. He has filled the hungry with good things and sent the rich away empty. He has helped his servant Israel in remembrance of his mercy, according to the promise he had made to our ancestors, to Abraham and his descendants forever."
And Mary remained with her about 3 months and then returned to her home. So this story, boys and girls, is of Mary pregnant with Jesus going to see Elizabeth, who's pregnant with John. And Mary visits with Elizabeth, and it's a very happy occasion when John knows that Jesus, these unborn babies know that they're in the same presence. They just turn cartwheels, okay? So this is what I want you to draw me a picture of. Mary and Elizabeth meeting together, both of them pregnant, and just this scene that we just read about, okay? Me and Katie, our first year of pastoral ministry, we'd been in pastoral ministry about a month. I remember Katie used to say to me all the time, we were dating, we were very clear about her. I told her, I said, "Listen, I'm going to be a radical Christian. You need to know that before you marry me. I don't mean like you're going to have to go to church every Sunday radical. I mean like you may be poor. You may never get to live in the same place very long. You may never own your own home. Radical Christian. I'm going to go where God calls me. Don't marry me if you can't do that." And she married me. But she would always say, "I'll never be a good minister's wife. I don't have it in me." She would say, "You know, that's one of my biggest fears is that I had a pastor's wife growing up who's just larger than life, always knew what to do, always, you know, was just seemed to be perfect, you know, just how to behave and act." And she said, "I'm just going to burn the church down, so I probably won't be a great minister's wife." And I'd say, "You'll figure it out. God will help you. You'll do good. You're wonderful. You know, you'll be great." So I remember our first year, one of these moments happened that Katie had always feared. It was maybe 10 o'clock at night. And I'm going to try really hard not to get emotional because this makes me love my wife. It was about 10 o'clock at night, and we were sitting on our couch. We had just moved into this parsonage with 4 bedrooms, 2 living spaces, a dine-in and a dining room and a kitchen. We had 1 couch and 1 set of furniture for a bedroom, so everything else was just empty. And we had a little dining room table somebody gave to us. And so we're sitting on our 1 couch, and there's a knock on the door. And I opened the door. It's the back door of our house where people that know you really well, they would come around our driveway and come in our back door. And I thought, who in the world is that? It's like 10 o'clock. And I opened the door, and I kid you not, there was a 17-year-old girl standing on my doorstep. Didn't know she was 17. I'd never met this girl in my life. Opened the door. There she stands. She's in a T-shirt and sweatpants because this was about July. And she's got just makeup run. She's just covered in tears. And she looks at me, and she says, literally when I opened the door, she says, "I'm pregnant, and I'm a teenager, and my parents just kicked me out of my house, and I don't know what I'm going to do." And I just stood there. In this passage, it says that Mary goes to visit Zechariah and Elizabeth, and it says Elizabeth greeted her. You know, I wonder if the door opened and Zechariah looks down and Mary goes, "I'm pregnant, and I'm a teenager, and I don't know what to do," and he was just stunned like me. And I was just stunned. I didn't know what to do. I just stood there, and finally I said, what's your name? And she told me, and I said, well, my name's Joshua. Come on in if you're comfortable. And she said, yeah. She came in just crying, weeping. And Katie was sitting on the couch. She got up and came in, probably thinking, who are you letting in our house at 10 o'clock at night? And Katie came over, and I remember we just listened to this young lady, a teenager. Now, I'm 23. Katie is 19. And this girl is in our dining room, because that's the door came in the dining room. And she's spilling her guts about how it happened and what's going on with her in her life, and how she's scared to death, and she's full of anxiety. She has nowhere to live. She doesn't know what they're going to do. Her parents are just so mad, and everybody's going to hate her, and we live in a small town. Everybody's going to know, and her life is ruined. And we listen to her as she cries and weeps and pours her heart out, and I just stood there. Honestly, you know, I'm a 23-year-old young man. I have no way to relate to this. I'm just listening, going, I don't know what to say to this girl. What do you do? What is the reaction? How do I let her know she's valued, and what do I, you know, how do I, and in the midst of me just probably standing there just staring at her thinking what is the right thing to do or say, Katie just walks over and she puts her arm around her and she just hugs her, and this girl just cries while Katie hugs her. And Katie hugs her and she pats her on the back and she says, you know that you're wonderful and you're beautiful, don't you? And that God loves you. Come in, sit on our couch, the one piece of furniture, right? She says, come and sit down, can I get you a Coke? And so Katie goes to the refrigerator because, you know, 17-year-olds don't drink a lot of coffee, but they drink Coke. So Katie pours this girl a Coke, gives her a cup of Coke, and they sit down on the couch. And I have not said more than 5 words to this girl. And Katie wraps her arms around her and says, lets her talk. And then finally, when it's all over, she says, you know, whatever happens, we'll be here. We're going to be here for you, whatever happens. We don't know what's going to come from here. And then Katie said, but you know what? Life is a blessing, however it happens. So if you're pregnant, it's life and it's a blessing. So we'll journey with you and we'll figure this out. I'll never forget that. I'll never forget me not knowing what to do. Katie seeming to know how to act, what to do to comfort this girl. I could just see her relax when she was told that she was treasured and mattered and she was carrying a blessing and all stuff. And then just taking that drink and being shown hospitality. And I remember before she left, she stood up finally. I still had really sat across the room on the floor and just watched Katie love on this girl. She got ready to leave. And I said, you know, Katie meant it when she said it. We're with you. We'll journey with you. And I said, but why did you come here? You know, I was thinking about what Katie said about pastor's wife. And she said, my pastor's wife was perfect and behaved so wonderfully and always dressed the part and looked the part and all these things. And I remember thinking, I would probably be petrified. What a risk. What a risk to be a single and a young lady and pregnant and really burdened with all this, maybe a little bit of shame and anxiety and fear and terror and not knowing. And you go to a pastor's house. Like, did she even know what door she was knocking on? You know, wouldn't you find condemnation and judgment? How do you know? And I looked at this girl and I said, you might me asking why you came here. We don't even know you. And she said, my parents used to go to the Nazarene church, and I remember that this was where their pastor lived. And I knew the church owned the house. And I knew that you were God's people and you'd get it. You'd understand. And man, that just lit my heart up, you know. The beginning of this story, Mary is young, probably a young teenager, right? Really young lady. She's pregnant with the Savior of the world, but she's not married, and she's pregnant, and I can't imagine all the anxieties, all the things that must be going on inside of her, all the fears and all the wonderings and all the what-ifs, and she makes her way to Elizabeth and Zachariah's house. This is a pastor's home. Zachariah is a priest, and Elizabeth is a priest's wife, and you might think, why would Elizabeth go there? Aren't those God people, judgy people? Aren't they condemning people? Aren't they strict people? Aren't they, you know, stern, austere sorts? Won't they just have a lot of chewing out to do? But Mary, pregnant and a teenager and young, she journeys to this house, and as soon as she gets there, the door is open, she's welcomed in. Zachariah, a lot like Joshua Hahn, probably stood back and went, you know, and Elizabeth greets her, brings her in, and immediately values her life and the blessing that God has given her. You know what? I bet Mary was thinking, God spoke to me and told me that he has touched my life. And God spoke to me and said that something special is happening to me and that this is a blessing. And if God told me that, God's people will get it. And so she shows up at Elizabeth and Zachariah's house, and she comes in, and the first thing Elizabeth does is Elizabeth values her as a person and values the treasure inside of her. And Elizabeth is overcome, and I want to just unpack two exemplary things that happen here that we got to learn from as Christians. The first is this. Elizabeth greets her, and Elizabeth says this, "How can I be so favored?" Can you imagine what it would be like if when that door had opened, I wish I'd have thought to say this, but I'm not as smart and wonderful as Elizabeth. I wish when that door had opened and that young teenage girl had looked at me and said, "I'm pregnant and I don't have anywhere to go and I don't know what I'm going to do and I'm scared to death." I would have looked at her and said, "How can I be so lucky that you would be here and show up at my door? Come on in." Elizabeth literally lights up. The baby inside her turns a flip. She turns a flip and she says, "How can I be so favored? How can I be so favored that I get to stand in the presence of God and the mother of God?" I think this is fundamental to what it means to be a good human being and a good believer. There are a lot of details about the Christian faith. There are a lot of intricacies about the story of God. There are a lot of things to consider and understand and try to know. But at its base, to be a believer, to be an Advent person who knows what it means to be in the presence of God, is every now and then to just be overcome with the gift, knowing how lowly we are. Elizabeth, knowing that she's just one face among millions on the planet, she thinks, "Me. I get to be in the presence of God and be a part of the story of the birth of Jesus." And she's just overcome. Like Jude when he sees a bottle, you know. I love that the scripture says you got to receive the kingdom of God like a child. You know why? Because children know how to receive gifts well, do we? When's the last time you woke up in the morning and you looked in the mirror and you said, "I'm alive, and God is alive, and God is with me. I can't believe that I get to spend the whole day in the presence of God, because wherever I go, God's with me. I cannot believe that I get to be a part," that Jesus said, "You are invited to be a part of the kingdom of God, and I'm coming." I get to be a part of that. It breaks my heart that my mom has to look at me and go, "Do you like it? I mean, you don't. Elizabeth says, "How can I be so favored that I get to be a part of this, the presence of God in the story of the coming King." That, ladies and gents, if we can just recognize our lowliness and then recognize the loftiness of the gift of being in God's presence and getting to be a part of God's story, we might figure out how to be Christians really together, you know. Then she says this to Mary, "Blessed are you." All the time, she's turning flips, and so is the baby inside her. Really, this is not just an encounter between Mary and Elizabeth, but between John and Jesus. This is the beginning of their walk together. John's turning flips, and Elizabeth's turning flips. And she says, "Blessed are you." And this is what she says about Mary. And this is the other exemplary thing I want to talk about. "Because you have so believed the promises of God will be fulfilled." I cannot imagine being Mary. I cannot imagine, I really can't. I can't fathom. I used to look at Katie when she was pregnant and just wonder how she went through daily life, knowing that a human being was inside of her. Just freaked me out, you know. And then we started moving and I could see it. I'd be like, "Huh." It's incredible to think about that. But I want you to think about this. Mary knows that God is inside of her. I want you to stop and consider that. And she's probably like 14. And she knows that God is inside of her. She also knows, we live in a day-to-day that's a lot different, but back then, if you were pregnant and you were not married, it was bad news. Like, really bad news. Like, death penalty bad news. Mary, not only does she become pregnant, but she's engaged when she becomes pregnant. How many men do you know that it would be really bad if the woman was engaged and came up to them and said, "Hey, I'm pregnant, but it's God." So, you know. And we'll get into a whole different story where God shows up for Joseph when Joseph is in need of some affirmation. I mean, this is a really rough position to be in with all kinds of judgments on her, all kinds of stereotypes. She'd walk down the street and she wouldn't be wearing the garb of a woman married, and people would point and go, "There goes a trashy one there." You know, no room for, no wonder. You know. What if, I remember Katie would be so concerned. I remember just, babe, don't lift anything. Don't go upstairs fast, right? Don't open the door. Put the seatbelt on, but make sure it's high enough that it's not like over your belly. Be careful. We don't want to, you know. Imagine knowing you're carrying the Son of God. What if something goes wrong? What if my body does something it shouldn't? What if I can't keep this baby safe? What if there's not going to be enough money for me to take care of this child? What if there aren't enough resources? What if once a child is born and I'm a mother, oh my goodness, I'm going to be a mother at like 14. Well, what if I don't know how to take care of a baby? What if my family won't believe me? What if claiming to be, you know, the Son of God, what if that comes with all kinds of political opposition and violence? What if Mary could be filled, and rightfully so, we would expect to be filled with so many what ifs and so much anxiety and stress, her hair should be falling out. And she shows up on Elizabeth's doorstep and she bursts into song. Elizabeth looks at her and says, overjoyed, I can't believe I'm so favored. I get to be in the presence of the Mother of God, and that means I'm in the presence of God himself. I can't believe how lucky I am. Oh my goodness. And by the way, you're so blessed too. You know why you're so blessed? You're blessed because you believe that when God makes a promise, God's not a liar. And that means that if God promised you that you will be called blessed, if God promised you you'll be the Mother of God, if God promised you that one day all people would think about you and never forget your name because you will be the Mother of the Savior of the world, if God promised that, then God will keep that promise. And Mary so believes, her hope is so certain, that even though she could be living in fear and pain and doubt and misery, and she may be living in all those things, they're totally overcome by the joy and the hope that God will do what God said he will do. And she burst into song. Can you believe the courage and the strength? How many of us have been in a situation and all we can do is talk about what if? All we can do is complain about the misery. All we can do is say, why did God put me in this position? I mean, God be glorified, but I'm so miserable. And yet Mary begins to burst into song, and this is what she says. She begins personally and says, and she just outlines kind of how lowly she is. And she says, but God lifts those people up and pours out God's mercy on me. And it starts as a personal declaration of praise. What does she have to be thankful for? We could look at her and say, Mary, you ain't had the baby yet. Don't count your eggs before, you know, or hens or chickens, something. Don't count them. You know, Mary, I wouldn't get too excited yet. I mean, you know, people might react really bad. There's so many reasons that we could find to squelch Mary's adoration, but we can't for the joy and the admiration and the adoration on this girl's face as she declares, the God who said he'd do it will do it. It's as if it's already happened for Mary because God said so. And then her song of praise moves into this declaration of God's mercy and love and grace. That's not just personal, but it's almost like this young lady begins to remember her history. And she begins to think about all that God's ever done. And she goes, but this God is not just good to me. This is not just a God Mary thing. This is not just a, I'm so special that I get to be blessed while everybody else. This God, lifting up the humble is what this God does. Pouring out mercy on people that are lowly. This is what putting to shame powers that oppress and ostracize and isolate and condemn, putting those down and raising up the lowly and the oppressed. This is who God is. And she just burst into song about a God who's good personally, but that's way too little for God. This God is merciful and loving on a cosmic scale. And she sings, and she sings. I think as believers this morning, as Advent people, do you believe that God has made promises to us? Promises like, whosoever believe will have everlasting life. God has made promises like, I'll leave you but for a little while, but I will return. Promises like, pray your kingdom come, your will be done. Do you believe that our God is a promise keeper or a liar? It's that basic. If we believe that God keeps promises, we can sing every now and then because God's made some pretty incredible promises. Elizabeth says, your life will be called blessed, not because it's going to be easy, because Mary's life doesn't get easy. It's a story for another season when this young mother, as an older mother, will look upon this child in a very different context. you'll be called blessed because you so believe that God is not a liar, then in advance you can celebrate everything that will come to fruition. Because if God said it, God will do it. I wonder if we're a people, I wonder if I'm a radical enough Christian to every now and then just be overcome with the joy and wonder of getting to be in the presence of God. I wonder if I could be a Christian. I wonder if I could be a believer like Elizabeth. And maybe even more so, I wonder if I could be a believer like Mary, who has every reason in the world to fill her mind with what ifs and how come and why me, but instead just so believes that God is true in his promises that she just bursts into song. This morning, I know with Christmas, you know what breaks my heart is the closer Christmas comes, you know, it's kind of a joke when we go, man, Christmas is right here. It breaks my heart that things like, you know, suicide and self-harm and anxiety and depression, all these things increase during Christmas time, you know. Even among Christians, you know, we seem to do so much of this sort of, and there's a time and a place for lament. There's a season for that. I don't want to downplay that. Being a Christian is not about being happy all the time. And hear me, Mary, listen, she bursts into song, but her life's not easy. And there will come a time when she'll lament, you know. But I wonder if believers, I wonder if we could rediscover that to be people who celebrate Advent, to be people who, when the nights get longer, we light candles. Because it doesn't matter how dark it is, there's a light that's coming. I wonder what it would be like if we as a church and we as individuals learned how to be overcome with the wonder of getting to be in God's presence and getting to be a part of God's story. And then I wonder if we could move on from there to the point where, like Mary, we could put all the what ifs out of our head for just long enough to explode into praise for a God who makes promises and keeps them. I wonder if we could live so certain that the kingdom is coming, that we just acted like it was already here. Because if God says it's coming, we can take it to the bank. The sun will rise. Mary's song is actually not that surprising if you read the whole Bible. The story of God is full of miraculous, courageous, strong women who burst into song after coming through parted waters and being set free from oppression and slavery in Egypt. Women who had prayed and prayed and prayed for a child and thought they would never have one and then get one and burst into song when God blesses. Writing, expressing, you know, we take a lot of time when we pray, and most of our prayers, most of our conversations to God look like this: I need, I'm hurting, it's bad, I'm stressed, I'm burdened. And hear me, God doesn't mind hearing that at all, because God is comfortable with uncomfortable things. That's why God was born. But here, there is a season, and it is good and right for us to stop every now and then and just express praise and wonderment that we get to be called God's people. So here's what we're going to do this morning as a response to this message. I want to pray for us. And then you have your papers, and you have your paper with the best gift you ever got. I want you to flip that puppy over. If you use both sides of your paper, just grab another paper. That's cool. I want you to write a song. Oh, I know. I told Katie this was going to be our response. She was like, baby, people don't write songs, honey. Maybe you want to write a letter then to God, like a friend letter, like you're writing to a good friend or you're writing to a parent. Maybe you want to write a poem. However you want to do it, I want us to take some space, and I want us to live into the wonderment of being God's, and I want us to live into the courage and the confidence of Mary, that we'll be called a blessed people if only we'll just believe so certainly that the kingdom is coming. We'll live like it's already here, because God keeps promises. I want us to take a few moments and just journal, write a letter, poem, song. I want you to express to God what it means to you that God saw a young man born named Joshua, born to a family in the middle of nowhere off Old Charleston Road, 100 yards from the railroad tracks, literally, who grew up on a farm where the barn was made out of hubcaps. I'm not kidding. Grew up in that family. Just one more face among billions. And God said, that guy made him, he gets to be a part of my story. And I'll offer the same promises to him that I did all those years ago. And I could tell you updated things. What does it mean to you that God chose you to be a part of this story? That you're in the presence of God in this moment. You're so favored. Will we be called blessed? Or will we be what if, doubt, anxiety driven people? Let me pray for us. Father, this morning, teach us to follow the example of Elizabeth and Mary. Teach us not only as individuals, but as a church, to discover what it means to be good gift getters. Teach us to be as good at worshiping you and declaring your praise and living into the certainty of your promises, or as help us, teach us to be as good at what Mary's doing here, bursting into praise. Teach us to be as good at that as we are at telling you what we need and begging you to make our lives a lot easier and better. Because Advent people are people who we know how to receive a gift well. And we believe you enough to live now as if the promises given have already been received. We pray this in the name of the promise giver, the promise keeper, the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords, the present one, in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Amen. Take some time and express to God what it means to be built.